I was never a grumbler, and as far as we are doing the master's will, keeping within the law, we can travel about and do what we like. The subject of fun, humor, and enjoyment on the other side was once summed up in these few words by an Aetherian after he had made an amusing remark to a lady present. We are pretty natural on this side of life, as you 165. We'll find out when you come over here. I find it so anyhow. One who gave his name and claimed to be the author of that name, one of outstanding fame during the latter part of the 19th century, once spoke these words. If you cannot make the pathway trod in earth life brighter for those who follow, you have failed much in your duty. You have all something to give, and I am sure you will endeavor to give of your best that those who follow after may say, she did it well, or he did it well. Do so, my friends. Do so, my dearest friends. What a record to carry with you. God bless you. On another occasion a gentleman present, who had done much good for mankind, was told, your garments will shine with a greater brilliance and place you in the advance guard, girt with the armor of righteousness, for all you have done to help those stragglers by the way as you go through life. Those records cannot be hid when you come to this side. You will bear the imprint of your actions in earth life, and those which are good will help you all the better when you come to this side of life, every one of you. See, then, that you do all the good you can, while you can. Life is real and unending. It is merely a changing scene from one phase to another. And, with the change, earth's worries cease, as we were told. God bless you. It will be a happy day when all earth worries are over and all meet again on the other side of life. I do not mean to hurry any of you. 166. The way, but you will tune yourself in on the spirit side of life, each one of you, when you come over, and renew again the friendships with those you used to meet in the earth surroundings. From what they say it would seem that worry, care and anxiety, which we associate with life, is absent from them. Doubtless they have troubles of their own about which we know nothing, but this is what we were told, I am sure, the way you all have to go, each and every one of you has your varied worries and anxieties, but trust to those who have gone before. They will help you and they will look after those you love who are away from you. The path which you have to tread on earth, do so with steadfast steps, firm and true, an example to those who falter by the way, remembering always there may be a weaker brother taking an example from you, lest you detract from the straight path that leads to the light. Keep the light ahead, and the course straight, and the goal will come in sight when all you love so well will be with you, and eternal peace. This cessation of worry, such as everyone experiences in earth life, was emphasized again on another occasion in these words. You will find a difference when you come to our side. All the tangled skeins will be unraveled, and you will have no more worry about anything. A lady present was once told by her grandfather, I know how hard the little worries pinch at times. There are some worries which are met with on life's road that are very difficult to deal with, but, remember, the corner is not far away. Take it. 167. From me, you cannot see round and it is a case of contemplating what is round the corner. What is round the corner will be very bright for you, my lassie. I must watch you with the greatest care, but I am afraid I am taking up too much time. The atmosphere in this home tonight is very congenial to me. Earth worries will cease, but nevertheless they have their regrets for past mistakes. This is what was once said by a father in Aetheria when speaking to his daughter. I regret all my mistakes. We have made many of them as we go through life. We all make blunders, but I find myself in a very happy condition here. I am only anxious about those I left behind. Many of our regrets, worries, and anxieties on earth come from our own folly and stupidity. Here is the message of one on the other side, giving us advice gained from his own experience. Pardon me, but I think I heard one of you speaking about the privilege of having your own ideals and ideas. Well, I would just like to say that it is also good to listen to other people's opinions and ideas as one walks along the path of life. Try to see through your brother's spectacles clearly, and then the world may seem a little different to you. I am speaking to no one in particular but to all of you, and to myself. When I was in the body I had no opinion but my own, and I was right, of course. How foolish that seems to me now. I am speaking about my earth life, of course, but now that has passed away. I am sorry for disturbing you, but I came in and die. 168. Like to look at your faces. I can see you all perfectly, and when I come close to you I see you better. I see the darkness of shadow around some of you, and the bright light around others, but I know that the shadow which is over some of you, Second World War, and it seems rather overbearing, is caused by worry over those you love. Do not worry over much. To conclude this subject of worry and regrets, let me give the remark of one who claimed to be an old friend of someone present. Let the light shine in your souls, and you will see the beauty of all the beauties which are around about you. We all make mistakes, but our mistakes purify us sometimes, at least they purify our outlook. I hope I am not intruding by putting my thoughts before you. That their thoughts produce their clothes seems evident from what we were once told by an Etherian. This power, which mind is over matter in Etheria, is difficult for us to grasp. They tell us that they have the power to mold etheric matter as they think. Consequently, their houses are the products of their minds. As they think, they construct. This was clearly told me on more than one occasion. So, when we are told what follows about their clothes, it may be difficult to understand, but it all fits in with what they have said to us at different times about their production and constructive methods. We have the same mind in Etheria as we have on Earth, or, to be more exact, we are the same mind there as here, and, when we think what our mind does here, we can believe it is possible for it to have even. 169. More extensive power in the other world. Before our conscious mind took control, our subconscious mind had fashioned tubes for conducting our blood, a pump we call the heart, to pump our blood continuously through our arteries and veins every day for some 68 years of the average civilized individual's lifetime. Before the conscious mind of man had discovered how to make metal pumps, tubes, levers, etc., the subconscious mind had directed their construction in flesh and bones in the human body, so what is it not capable of doing in a world of finer matter where its control is so much greater? I try to liken the human mind to a tree. We see and sense its leaves and branches, which can be compared to the conscious mind. The unconscious mind can be compared to its roots, the unseen life-giving part of the tree, from which comes its form and vitality. What is visible appeals to us, but not the invisible, and so with our mind, the conscious part being like the visible tree but the unconscious very real mind like the vital roots which nourish the tree. After death the subconscious mind of Earth seems to become more prominent, to rise and give visible expression such as it does not do on Earth. It is here, in the subconscious, that the power of the mind lies, and, when its potency is released, to become more visible after death, much will be possible for us to do that we cannot do on Earth. This is what we were once told by an Etherian at the close of a long talk. I have progressed since then, and now I am able to return to the surroundings of Earth life and be clothed in apparel like what I used to wear. There. 170. Clothes change. I cannot tell you how, but, as we draw near the physical, the clothes change, there is no doubt about it. Perhaps I have not put it very clearly to you, but, when I draw near to the earth plane, I find myself standing in the surroundings where I used to stand, with similar garments to those I used to wear in earth life. And the robes I wear on the other side of life, the Summerland side, change, imperceptibly to me, when I cross the border through the mist. Of course, there are others who can come, more advanced than I am, and they always come in their spirit robes. I wish you could see them, they are very beautiful. Their minds have not only supernormal power over substance, but they also seem to have the power of transferring thoughts from mind to mind without the use of speech. They'd use the spoken word just as we do, but they have a telepathic gift which is very rare and exceptional on Earth. This is what I was once told in answer to a question I asked about the different languages spoken in Etheria. There are the various Earth languages spoken here, such as English, French and German, but they are conveyed from mind to mind mentally. Communication takes place mentally from one to another, not only by the spoken word as on Earth. This is just as if I were to say that the mind of the spirit gets into telepathic touch with the mind with which he is communicating. A lady present asked her mother in Etheria if she had met Aunt Agnes, to be told, "No, but I have spoken to her, just as you would talk to someone on the phone. It is not the same." 171. "But that is the only way I can describe it. When I get the condition, I am able to speak to her. She is on beyond me. You will get many surprises at what happens here." A man in Etheria who said he was not far advanced, in fact, that he was rather backward, confirmed this telepathic form of communication which all understand, no matter what was their Earth language, because the pictures formed in one mind are conveyed to the one with which it is in communication. This is what he said: "I do not want to go very far on my way until I get the members of my own family with me. Meantime, I understand that once we pass beyond these spheres in which I have been for a very long time, we shall at once acquire the knowledge of a language which everyone knows. This greater freedom of expression, their greater ease of travel, their immense mental power over matter, may be the reason for the greater harmony which there prevails." This remark was once made in the course of a long conversation between the sitters and an active friend and helper on the other side. There will be no unification of the peoples of the world until they all reach this plane of life, where no enmity, no jealousy or hatred to anyone can intervene. That is what I meant by unification, and then all will be well for all, but, until that time, be up and doing, by prayerful thoughts and kindly deeds, to help to bring comfort and cheer to the lonely ones. When reading the next chapter, it will be evident that they are generally delighted to get into contact. 172. Once more with friends on Earth. In spite of the difficulties they experience in communicating with us, they face it with a will and determination because, as we were once told by one of our friends there, it is a great satisfaction to us to know that the little thoughts, which we have managed to give of our knowledge of life here, are acceptable to you. Thank you very much. You will find when you come to my side that there was so much you could have done in Earth life if you had just opened your heart. I am not speaking to you personally, you know, at all. I am just voicing the thoughts which are in my soul from my own experience. So let us now proceed with another phase of this all-embracing subject. 173. Chapter 11, Their Contact with U.S. The evidence we received of the interest and affection which Etherians have for us on Earth did not come from a series of questions and answers, but by the remarks they made from time to time, often in the course of conversation. When these are all brought together, it is evident that in many cases their memories of Earth life are as vivid as they were when they lived on Earth, and that their interest in their friends, and affection for their relations still on Earth, is as strong as it ever was. Besides the remarks they made, the tone of their voices conveyed, as much as their words, their pleasure in being able to speak to us on Earth. To be able to tell us of the fact that they still live and love, that they are happy and eagerly awaiting the time when their relations will join them, gave them intense pleasure. So let us read their varied remarks on their contact with us, which is the subject of this chapter. A young man who had met a tragic death once spoke to a friend amongst the sitters. After giving his name, he said these words in the course of a general conversation: "It is so delightful to be beside you. It is not every day I get a chance of sending a message. I am thinking about my beloved friend, Mary Stope. God bless her for her friendship to me. It is all fresh. 174. To me when I come back and look at you all. I have passed the way by which all come. You are filing past the milestones. My friends, ladies and gentlemen. I went over before I had passed many milestones. I have come to such a wonderful country, and I have got such wonderful work to do. A lady present once heard her sister's voice. First of all, the sister gave her name, and then said this in reply to the hope expressed that she is now happy after all her earth's sorrows. My earth sorrows are as nothing to me now. I am glad to be away from it all. I am so happy here. I love you, darling, and will do all I can to help you and keep you company, for you are lonely sometimes. And now I am going to help you, dear, all I can. Isn't it fine that we can speak to each other, and that you got to know about this? A mother in Etheria once told her daughter this, in reply to a question as to whether or not she was happy in her new life. I just wish you were half so well and happy as I am. All my worry is to see you worried and nobody with you. I would not come back, darling, but I am so glad to come and talk to you. I would rather stay here, and get everything very nice for your homecoming. Those who spoke to us often referred to their happiness, but this is sometimes tempered with sadness for the friends and relations they have left behind, if they are unhappy and lonely. Happiness in Etheria is also affected by the general misery on earth caused by strife and suffering. As one of them once expressed it during the Second World War. 175. You know, sweet lady, there are so many in trouble today on your side of life. I tread the path of your earth way at times and my heart is sad. I know you are wondering at me saying my heart is sad, but I take on the feelings of sadness, distress and sorrow which are around, and I just wish I could lift them all away. I just wish all on the earth plane could get into harmony with divine love and leave their cares and sorrows behind them. Another Etherian once put it this way. I wonder myself when I look back on those whom I loved and still love who are coming through such trying times, Second World War, and I cannot do anything but pray that you may be assisted and supported through it all, though I know you will be compensated for it all. There are very few today who have not their own particular worry or care. I think you know what I mean, just that little care and heartache that you can tell to no one but yourself and your spirit friends, and I, although I have not exactly earned the right to call you my friends, am eager and willing to help you in every way I can. I know there are others over me who are ready to help you. During a long conversation with a lady present, an Etherian, who claimed acquaintance with her son in Etheria, once spoke as follows. I have traversed a great many spaces since coming to this side of life, and I thank the great spirit God for allowing me to have that great joy and privilege. I have now been appointed to operate on your earth plane for some considerable time, trying to alleviate the sadness and take away the sorrows of 176. Those who are on the earth plane needing help. I try to help those who are grieving for dear ones through this war, and impress upon them that there are myriads of souls who come to alleviate the suffering of those who are passing through war to this side of life. They do so by taking the consciousness away. I will stand aside now, ladies and gentlemen, for a little while. But with your permission I may come in again later if I get the opportunity. Another amplified the foregoing at another seance in these words. We are not sad, quite the reverse. It is only when we see and feel the unhappiness of others on contacting your plane that we take on a kindred feeling. You would not be human if you did not feel sad and sorrowful for others at times. We would not be brothers and sisters to each other if we did not get this mutual sorrow. And this applies not only to your friends, but to all those ministering angels who watch over you. They have kindred feelings with you, and enter into all your sorrows and all your joys, and try to help you at all times. A lady present on another occasion heard this said at the close of a short talk she had with one who had been in love with her when he was on earth. It is so nice to see you. So nice to hear you say we will meet again. There are no jealousies here. We all love one another and help each other both here and on your plane, and I will help you all I can. A recently widowed lady once received this message about her husband. He is happy and cheerful and wants you to try and be happy too. There are many friends here who 177 are interested in you, and they want you to know that though they do not speak to you, they are close, and will all be looking after you. Once, after a hymn had been sung to relieve any tenseness amongst the sitters, there came clearly the name and voice of a woman, a friend of most of the sitters, who had passed on some months previously. "Oh, do sing it again, my darlings. I love to hear you sing and I love to join in these hymns. It brings back the old days when I was in the body." Undoubtedly their coming to these seances brought back their earth memories. A friend in Etheria once said this to a lady. "I can see you all. I can see you just as you are, sitting in that chair, and apparelled just as I had clothes in earth life. I see your hair has a beautiful curl and you have a nice complexion." Her son, who often came back and spoke to his mother, a regular sitter, once said these words. He has been previously referred to as a teacher in one of their universities. "My mother, we are both beside you, sweet mother, father and I. I have stood in silence listening to the beautiful heartfelt words that Indian friend spoke just now, and I felt my heart rejoice that my labors on this site have been of some use, because he is one of my pupils. Oh, that I could draw the curtain aside and portray the beautiful picture to you of what is to come. We are not able to do so. There are certain things you are not allowed to know until you join us here. It is an amazing time we are living in, dear friends, just now. Mother dear, I am just looking at you." 178. The father in Etheria of a lady present had once a talk with his daughter, which concluded with these words. "Mother and I hope you will have a very happy time for the remainder of your earth career, and we will be standing at the gateway awaiting you when God's good time comes. God bless you, my beloved lassie. You have had a checkered life lately, we know. I mean ups and downs, and you are missing us very much now, me and mother. You took great care of mother, and now am I have her here to take care of, and I think you will understand, my dear, when I say that I think I understand her even better than you." When a mother present asked her son in Etheria if he had been with her when she had been from home, he replied, "And so I was, mother dear, and I am with you now. I am with you many times when you don't know it, when you are not thinking about me. I know that you think about me often, but often, when you are not, I am beside you, helping you out of your difficulties, because you have difficulties, sometimes, dear. And you wonder often how things have smoothed out as they do." At the end of a long conversation between a mother in Etheria and her daughter who was present at the seance, the mother remarked, "I would just surprise you if you could see me standing beside you." A schoolmaster present was once told this in a conversation with a lady in Etheria, at whose house, when she was on earth, he had seances in the Ayrshire village of West Kilbride. 179. It is such a wee world when you come to think about it. Here I am on the other side of life, in the new world, and yet I can come, just by thought, practically instantly to see you as I used to see you in the old days at West Kilbride. During a conversation that a boy in Etheria was having with his mother, he addressed all present in these words, which make clear the pleasure it is to our friends on the other side to come again in contact with those they love on earth. "It is such a joy to me, friends, to speak to my mother like this. When I found I could do so, it was a great joy to me, and I have tried to help others to get the joy of speaking to those they love on the earth plane. It makes me very happy to talk to you and try to help you." This is what was told to a lady present by her mother in Etheria. After giving her name and referring to her daughter by name, she went on. "It is mother speaking, and it is just like yesterday since you were a wee prattling thing running about my feet. God bless you, my dear. You are toddling down the hill now. The words which follow greatly comforted a widow who was present. They were spoken to her by her husband. If other widows could be as sure as she is that their husbands are awaiting them, how much needless sorrow and mourning would cease on earth. Norman is speaking to you. My dear, how do you do? I am away at the other side of the room so that I can amplify my voice a little better for you. It is not tuned in yet as I would like it to be. There. 180 love which is in our souls, my dear, is still burning strong, and, as your days run past, I am watching you. God bless you. I will never be properly happy until we shake hands and clasp each other when God's good time comes. In the interval I will guard you to the best of my ability, as far as the spirit friends who guide me here allow me to do so. Marriage on earth can either be happy, fairly happy, or unhappy. Marriage, as we understand it on earth, does not exist in etheria, but those who love each other come together again when both reach the other side. The fairly happily married people generally remain friends, and the unhappily married see little or nothing of each other. The happily married here have been fortunate in each finding a mate on earth, but those less fortunate will sometime find a partner in etheria to their liking, if there is harmony between them and they are congenial to each other. This briefly is what I have been told from the other side, and it seems reasonable, natural, and what we might expect from the knowledge we have of the way they live. A gentleman, who was a regular sitter, had many talks with his wife on the other side. Once, after assuring her of his constant affection for her, she replied, "I know, Don. We are twin souls in many things. You know what I mean, and the great mystery of life is I had to leave you sooner than I would have liked. You have been so brave, Donald, and you have been so good to your charges left in your care. There have been some little things that have worried you, but I am always helping you." 181. Donald. Good day. At the end of the road, my dear, when the good spirit God will call you home, Mary will be waiting there. All kinds of men, women, and children of the other world visited the Sloane Circle over a period of about 40 years, and many hundreds of Earth visitors were welcomed by the regular sitters. These visitors received ample evidence that those they thought of as dead were really alive and, though now unseen, loved them as they did when they lived on Earth. Thousands of evidential messages were given which proved the identity of those who spoke, but most of them are lost because they were never put in writing. It is from those essences that were recorded, that the extracts given in this book are taken, but I have omitted all references to evidence of identity, and mentioned personal names as seldom as possible. This book is of an educational nature, and is confined to what they tell us about the world in which they live and their life there. Evidence of identity was always freely given, and this will be found in some of my other books. What the pages of this book contain are of interest to everyone, whereas evidence of identity can only completely convince the individual who receives it. All the speakers, whose words are here recorded, fully satisfied their friends on earth by the intimate things they said, that they were none other than the personality ties they claimed to be. So I think that what else they said, besides the proofs they gave of their identity, can also be accepted. On the other hand, if we reject the personalities behind the voices which spoke, how are we to account? 182. For them, and all they told us. Behind a voice must be a body to vibrate our atmosphere, and behind the body a brain which is controlled by an individual mind. Everything recorded is too immense to be the product of a human fraud, intent on deceiving his fellow creatures. Everything is too consistent, too patently genuine, and too impossible for the ordinary intelligence to imagine as planned deceit and fraud. Sloane was tested in every possible way, and he was not the only direct voice medium in the world. There are, and have been, many others, and these conversations between the two worlds, both evidential and informative, have been going on for the past 100 years in many parts of the globe. They have been taking place wherever there was someone who could supply the people on the other side with ectoplasm to enable them to materialize their vocal organs.